Good morning and welcome to worship this morning. This is week 15 of our Contagion 2020 online worship, and yet we are stronger than when this all began. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is also Father's Day weekend, and so a shout out to all of our fathers and grandfathers, those who are still with us and those who have gone on before us. This morning, Carl is going to sing for us a song called Thank You for Being My Dad. And as that song is being sung, you'll see some images of fathers in our parish.
A son rarely tells his father how he really feels. A handshake or a pat on the back is all that he reveals. I'd like to right that wrong here in this little song. Thank you for shaping my life. Thank you for teaching me all you can. You are no ordinary man, no, no, no. You make me everything I am. Thank you for taking the time. Thank you for showing me the way. And thank you for being there when I need you. Thank you for every single day. Now I've been blessed with some kids of my own. Got my own bedtime stories to tell. If I can raise them half as well as you raised me, guess I'd be doing pretty well. Thank you for your guiding hand. Thank you for making my dreams come true. You're an extraordinary man, and I hope you're as proud of me as I am proud of you. Thank you for giving me life. Thank you for showing me good from bad. I guess I'm only really trying to say thank you for being my dad. Even though the years drift away, I never took the time just to say I love you and I always have. Thank you for being my dad. Thank you for being my dad.
A beautiful way to start the morning. Now it is time for us to sing together, as we are reminded that in God's kingdom, all races are equal, and all classes of people are welcome. If our church is to be the church of Jesus, then mine is the church where everybody's welcome.
Mine is the church where everybody's welcome. Through the door. We are a dazzling
shine bright. Come on, let us all bloom together in that garden. A carnival of fragrance and delight. Mine is the church where everybody's welcome. Tolerate each other. We ask and tell, we don't just turn away. We give attention to every bud and blossom. Let every face come grace the grand bouquet.
Mine is the church where everybody's welcome.
Our demons keep trying to divide us. They document their lies to make them true. Today we're freed from our judging and excluding. Just look around and enjoy the lovely view.
Mine is the church. Everybody's welcome. I know it's true, 'cause I got through the door. We are a dazzling bouquet of every kind of flower. Jump in the vase, 'cause we've got space. Jump in the vase, 'cause we've got space. Jump in the vase, 'cause we've got space for more.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Open our hearts and minds to you, Lord God, that we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Open our hearts and minds. Help us to make room for your Holy Spirit, that we may be changed for good. Amen. On the shores of Holmes Harbor at the Wolf and Bear Lodge, Irvin is waiting to share the words of Jesus with us. Irvin?
A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure that you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, "Let me take that speck out of your eye," while the log is in your eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Irvin. Our love to you and to Dave this day. Week 3 of the Yellow Brick Road, Carl's going to sing a song for us called "The Road That Leads Us Home."
On this road we travel down, it isn't wealth or fame somehow, or power that we may hold now, that makes this life worthwhile. It's not revenge or many loves, and glory never is enough. For in the end all turns to dust after all of those miles. Our journey is to find ourselves, to share and care and love as well. Be witness for somebody else, and in the end to know the depth of our determination, the extent of our dedication, the place we seek our inspiration, our true and honest goals. The reason we find to believe, the way we set our demons free, the place where we will not retreat, though we must stand alone. What we are counted on to do, the limits of our courage too, what we have found to be the truth on the road that leads us home. What we are counted on to do, the limits of our courage too, what we have found to be the truth on the road that leads us home.
Thanks, Carl. My dear friends, and those who are watching that I have never met, parents, grandparents, and children, gather round, for I believe with all my heart that God has a word for us this morning. Now, at first glance, it will seem to be so very simple. A single sentence from Jesus, 10 words, that's all. 10 words that could become our life's work. Could you repeat these words back to me? Do not judge so that you may not be judged. 10 words. The sermon title for this final visit to Oz is Growing Up Green. 2 weeks ago, we began this journey in Kansas. There, we were introduced to a young woman named Dorothy. She lived on a farm with her Auntie M and her Uncle Henry. Now, I don't know how Dorothy came to be without parents or siblings, but I do know that human stories are never simple. Every story in every family are complicated. Partially explained and partially hidden at the same time. No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. There are skeletons in the closet of every family. In Kansas, 2 weeks ago, we were picked up by a twister. We found ourselves in a terrifying vortex with Dorothy and Toto. Then there was a violent landing in the Munchkin City in the county of the Land of Oz. We opened the door and the black and white world disappeared. This new land was unrecognizable and at the same time strangely familiar. The Land of Oz, mysterious and magical. Our senses were overwhelmed. There were vibrant colors, strange creatures, talking trees, and flying monkeys. There were three witches, one good, one wicked, and one dead. What a journey we've been on. Last week, we met the Wizard of Oz, only to find out that the all-powerful, wonderful Wizard of Oz was actually a humbug. Dorothy said, "You are a very bad man." And his reply, "No, I am a very good man. I am just a very bad wizard." A good man, but a bad wizard? A good man, but a humbug? Can one be both? Say goodbye to black and white. The Land of Oz was full of color and contradiction and 1,000 shades of gray. Consider for a moment the contradictions. A scarecrow with straw for brains, and yet there was no end to his good ideas. A tin man without a heart, who was full of love and compassion and empathy and often moved to tears. A lion without courage, who takes on the wicked witch. And a young lady who runs away from home only to realize that there's no place like home. The story is complicated with almost endless contradictions. But then look in the mirror or look up your family tree. All of our stories are complicated, more gray than black and white. Our lives are filled with contradictions and hypocrisy as we hide in closets or behind masks. We are, as Martin Luther taught, saint and sinner. Saint and sinner at the same time each and every day of our lives. And so the lines of good and evil are blurred. In reality, we are just somewhere on the continuum. Real life is not black and white. Real life and real people live in a world of various shades of gray. Some days we have a brain. Some days we don't. Some days our hearts are full of compassion, and sometimes our hearts are cold and unfeeling. Some days we are brimming with courage, and other days we can't get up the courage to get out of bed. Some days we are good and faithful, but there are other times when we are humbugs. This morning we're going to return to the merry old land of Oz. We're going back, but we're going way back, further back than you've probably ever been, to a time before Dorothy. This morning we will hear the rest of the story as told in the musical Wicked. Wicked, which is among the most successful musicals in the history of Broadway. The full title is actually Wicked, the untold story of the Witches of Oz. Wicked is a prequel to the Wizard of Oz movie, chronicling the events that took place before Dorothy and Toto dropped in to the Munchkin City. I believe that the rest of the story will have something to offer us, especially on a Sunday when Jesus warned us not to judge, lest we ourselves be judged. So where do we start? Let's start with Glinda. When Glinda, known in Oz as the Good Witch of the South, went off to boarding school, she was assigned a roommate, not just any roommate. No, her roommate was green. Now, Glinda was beautiful, and Glinda was popular. If you've ever been a teenage girl, you understand what that means. She was popular. She had the right clothes. There was no end to her confidence, and she had a great sense of style. Glinda's roommate was green. She was green because her mother had an affair with a humbug traveling salesman who would become known as the Wizard of Oz. As the prelude to their passion, the humbug had given a green elixir to her mother, who then conceived a green baby. Have you ever seen a green baby? Didn't think so. Now, the father who raised her, the governor of Munchkin Land, seemingly rejected her in favor of her not green younger sister. It's worth noting that in the movie, The Wizard of Oz, she had no name. She was conveniently defined as evil. She was known only as the Wicked Witch of the West. How easy it is to label those who are different, to refuse to acknowledge their humanity, to refuse to call them by name, especially if they are a different color or they come from a far-off land with some strange cultures or religion. The Wicked Witch of the West had no name, but we find out that it was not always that way. In the prequel, Wicked, her name was Elphaba. Elphaba was green. No one else was green. She was different. She was different from all the other girls at the boarding school. Her sister, Nessa Rose, was not green, but she was handicapped. Elphaba's mother was dead. Her biological father was a humbug. Her sister was handicapped, and she was green. And guess what? She blamed herself for all of it. Understandably, she lacked self-confidence. But her roommate was popular, confident, and a good witch to boot. The stage is set. So let's look in on Wicked, Glinda, and Elphaba.
Whenever I see someone less fortunate than I, and let's face it, who isn't less fortunate than I? My tender heart tends to start to bleed. And when someone needs a makeover, I simply have to take over. I know exactly what they need. And even in your case, though it's the toughest case I've yet to face, don't worry, I'm determined to succeed. Follow my lead, and yes, indeed, you will be popular. You're gonna be popular. I'll teach you the proper ploys when you talk to boys, little ways to flirt and flounce. I'll show you what shoes to wear, how to fix that hair, everything that really counts to be popular. I'll help you be popular. You'll hang with the right cohorts, you'll be good at sports, know the slang you've got to know. So let's start, 'cause you've got an awfully long way to go. Don't be offended by my frank analysis. Think of it as personality dialysis. Now that I've chosen to become a policist or an advisor, there's nobody wiser. Not when it comes to popular. I know about popular. And with an assist from me to be who you'll be, instead of dreary who you were, well, are, there's nothing that can stop you from becoming popular. Lar. La. La, la, we're gonna make you popular. When I see depressing creatures with unprepossessing features, I remind them on their own behalf to think of celebrated heads of state or specially great communicators. Did they have brains or knowledge? Don't make me laugh. We're popular, please. It's all about popular. It's not about aptitude. It's the way you're viewed. So it's very shrewd to be very, very popular. Like me.
Well, that was fun. But being green when everyone else is not green is painful. The so-called Wicked Witch of the West had a name, and she had a story. She became what she had become as a result of the experiences and the pain in her life. Like all of us, she was a product of her raising. Elphaba had a name. She had feelings and hopes and dreams and a story that previously we knew nothing about. Goodness and wickedness are largely perceptions, but life is rarely black and white. It's 1,000 shades of gray. We are saints and we are sinners at the very same time. We learn that Elphaba was in fact a young woman who cared deeply about her family and her friends. She cared about truth and she loved nature. But people would pay little attention to what she said. She was not popular. Why? Because she was green. And her skin color was offensive and her appearance was threatening. Jesus said, "Do not judge." Every person you meet is carrying a heavy burden. And every person is a product of their raising. Love, acceptance, rejection, guilt, shame, success, and failure, cutting and kind words, they are all a part of the complicated and sometimes toxic recipe that formed us, ingredients in a witch's brew that made us. You've seen The Wizard of Oz. So you already know how the story ends. The house falls on a handicapped witch of the East. Her sister, the green and nameless wicked witch of the West, plots to get those ruby slippers back. Meanwhile, the heroine, Dorothy, and her friends seek to destroy the green witch and gain their reward. Now, there are many lessons to be learned in life. Jesus, our rabbi, cautions us this morning against judging the journey of another. What do we really know about those that we are so quick to judge? Do we know the burdens they carry? What scars are theirs? The insecurities that plague them? Of course we don't. And you know what? No one appointed us to be judge and jury. All we have to do, according to Jesus, all we have to do is to love God by loving our neighbors. And in order to do that, we must somehow make peace with ourselves and our past. And we must learn to forgive others and to forgive ourselves. Now, there are many lessons to be learned from the Broadway musical Wicked. The first, do not judge a person by their appearance. Do not judge lest somebody drops a house on you. It's okay to be different. People deserve to be loved and respected no matter how strange or repulsive they may appear to us. People deserve basic human rights, and it was good to see our Supreme Court rule in that way this past week. There is good in every person, but there is also wickedness in our human nature, wickedness that's based in our fear or our greed or our superstition or our tribalism. We are all saints and sinners at the same time. None of us are good or evil. We are 1,000 shades of gray. There are many lessons to be learned from Wicked. The second would be stand up for what you believe. Have courage, knowing that sometimes you may need to defy gravity to change the world for good. Stand up and be counted. And thirdly, you have power. You can make a difference. Your love could set someone on a path to good. But your prejudice, your bullying, your judgment could also set someone on a path to wickedness. This morning, scripture and story come together to make prophetic commentary on this moment in our human history. For far too long, we have let racism be the norm. Racism is an unspoken, often unperceived, insidious evil. Racism is part of our cursed inheritance. We see people who are green or black. We refuse to give them a name. We see only color and we are threatened. We do not acknowledge that there is a story behind that face and that we have a shared humanity that runs deeper than the pigment in our skin. Racism is not something that most of us have chosen. No, it is systemic in our nation and culture. We were born into it, and now it hides. It hides in the halls of power, and it hides in the halls of justice. It is a virus, an infection, a cancer that is and has been much more dangerous and life-taking than any contagion of nature. Having said that, in the summer of 2020, I am hopeful. I am hopeful that the events of the last month may at last usher in a season of real change. Racism was not a choice for us, but ending racism is a choice. And what a gift it would be, what a gift it would be to our children and grandchildren if we drove a stake through its heart, or consistent with our story, if we liquidated racism. I have a dream that one day my grandchildren will live in a land where people are judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. George Floyd was not a martyr. But his death may be the spark we need to ignite a revolution that will allow us to become the nation that Martin Luther King Jr. dreamed of, a nation of justice and peace for all people. May the protest continue. May the voices of God's people be heard until freedom rings for every color and race and gender and orientation. Wicked. Wicked reminds us that we must question authority. We must question authority and call out the humbugs. Call out the humbugs who are hiding behind the curtain, abusing power and manipulating the common people. Let's defy gravity together. Let's defy the gravity that has kept our country in chains for 400 years. The time is now. And the final lesson from Wicked is that people come in to our lives for a reason. It was not an accident that Glinda and Elphaba were roommates. The scarecrow is in Dorothy's path for a reason. Dorothy needed the Tin Man and the Cowardly Lion to learn life lessons and to return home. People come into our lives for a reason. The people you meet and the relationships that you form, they change your life. So keep your heart and mind open that you might learn life lessons from those who travel the yellow brick road with you. People come into our lives for a reason, and we are changed. May we be changed for the better, and may we be changed for good. Amen. Carl and Deb are going to sing for us.
I've heard it said that people come into our lives for a reason, bringing something we must learn, and we are led to those who help us most grow if we let them, and we help them in return. Well, I don't know if I believe that's true, but I know it's who I am today because I knew you. Like a comet pulled from orbit as it passes a sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better, but because I knew you? I have been changed for good.
It well may be that we will never meet again in this lifetime. So let me say before we part, so much of me is made of what I learned from you. You'll be with me like a handprint on my heart. And now, whatever way our stories end, I know you have rewritten mine by being my friend. Like a ship blown from its mooring by a wind off the sea, like a seed dropped by a skybird in a distant wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better, but because I knew you?
Because I knew you,
I have been changed for good.
And just to clear the air, I ask forgiveness for the things I've done you blame me for.
But then I guess we know there's blame to share,
and none of it seems to matter anymore.
Like a comet blown
like
from
a ship
orbit
blown from
as it passes
the sun, by a wind off the sea,
like a stream that meets
like a
boulder
dropped by a bird
halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed for the better?
I do believe I have been changed for the better.
And because I knew you,
because I knew you,
because I knew you, I have been changed.
Prayers now to God at this time. Each petition will lead to our sung response, "Change My Heart, O God." Let us pray.
Change my heart, O God, make it ever true. Change my heart, O God, may I be like you.
Gracious God, be with your children as we are hurting. Help us to reach out with grace and mercy to our neighbors of every race, gender, and identity. Help us to stand for justice and equity for all. Guide us as we work for peace and freedom among all of your people. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Fathers and dad-like role models everywhere. Lift them up today and always as they work to love and support your children. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
We pray for our educational leaders. Guide them as they make plans for returning to school in the fall. Help them to make plans that focus on safety, health, and social and educational well-being for their students and families. Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
We pray for those who are struggling with depression, anxiety, and other health issues. Bring them comfort and peace during this time of turmoil and unrest. Shine your light and love into their lives so they may feel your loving embrace.
Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God.
Make it ever true.
Make it ever true.
Change my heart, O God.
Lord, we pray for our divided nation. May we come together and work for the common good of all people. We pray for all who sit in the halls of power. Give them wisdom, patience, clarity of thought, and compassion, especially for the voiceless and for those who are living on the margins.
Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Into your hands, gracious and loving God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Now may the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace and greeting with those that you are worshiping with this morning.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
The peace of the Lord be with you all.
Peace. Very few announcements today. Our church offices are open now during the week, Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. if you'd like to stop by. And then the altar flowers. Behind me, the altar flowers are in celebration of Kay and Bob Wiley's 59th wedding anniversary. Congratulations to Kay and Bob. And now let us dedicate our gifts and our entire lives to God as we sing together the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today
receive the benediction. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sending hymn, a combination of O Freedom and Keep Your Eyes on the Prize. Sing along if you'd like with Ron and Jim and Carl.
Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Oh, freedom, oh, freedom, oh, freedom over me. And before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home to my Lord and be free. Paul and Silas bound in jail, had no money for to go their bail. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. Paul and Silas began to shout, the jail door opened and they walked on out. Keep your eyes on the prize, hold on. Day too long. Keep your eyes.